Psych. We're back. Did we fool you? Fooled me. Welcome back to the morning show, everybody. Hope you're having a great start to your morning out there.
The best pranks are the ones you put on yourself. Yes, you know, they are the best ones.
Seth and James here with you. Another hour to have some fun with you and hang out and get you ready for Morning Magazine, of course, and the rest of your day. Melissa had to leave early today, and she was nice enough to let Seth and I know that yesterday.
Yeah, right.
And I was kind of prepping and preparing for that, and I wanted to be able to send her off well and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I was all focused on Melissa leaving, and then I thought, oh, we're wrapping up. And so in my head, I just started wrapping up the show. And I get done, and I look at the screen, and I'm like, wait a minute. And then Seth goes, wow, it's already 9 o'clock. I'm like, oh. And in my head, everybody knows what happened. Dough. Homer's dough pops right in my head. Dough! Right away. Got another hour with us.
That's
you
right.
You get rid of us that easy.
Yeah, I was going to say, ha-ha.
We will take this hour to talk about, a little bit about the scheduling changes at some point. We'll get into that a little. I have some entertainment news I want to touch on to kick things off. But we got my Vanny Wright story and plenty of good stories of the day. Mm-hmm. We'll spend our time, since we got to touch on local stuff, we'll talk about the end of the hour. Our good stories will be world good stories.
Yeah.
We'll get into some of that.
That sounds good.
But kick things off, I wanted to get into a little bit of entertainment, and Billy Joel's record-breaking residency at Madison Square Garden is coming to an end next year.
Oh, wow.
After 10 years. His final show will take place in July 2024. Hmm. By the time it wraps up, he will have played 150 shows.
Wow.
He's already played 60 more shows at MSG than any other artist in history.
60!
He also holds the record for the most consecutive shows at 12. He played for more than 1.6 million fans there. Mm. He played at MSG for the first time in 78.
Wow.
Billy says, quote, I'm kind of flabbergasted that it lasted as long as it did. My team tells me that we could continue to sell tickets, but 10 years, 150 shows, all right already. That's good.
Yeah, that is good.
He added, quote, I want to thank them for coming to our shows for this long. It's hard to end, even at 150 lifetime shows. I just want to thank everyone for the wonderful thing that's happening here. He's the ultimate New Yorker.
He is.
You know, he loves
New
York. He's a New York guy. And I can't imagine, like, there is the Chicago Theater, the Orpheum Theater in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Like, those I would give anything to play. I'd give literally anything to be able to perform on those stages. I can't even begin to imagine what it would feel like to a New Yorker to play at arguably the most popular arena in the world.
Yeah, one of the most famous venues in the world. There's something. I mean, when you hear any artist is going to play Madison Square Garden, that means something. That really does. And to see that he's basically, I mean, who does this?
Yeah.
No one is. I mean, unless it's in Vegas, no one else does like residency like he's done there. So it's really cool.
Yeah. It's been a heck of a run, too. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine that it's easy to give up, especially we do this with athletes all the time.
Yeah.
When do you walk away?
When do you walk away?
If you're LeBron James right now and you're still averaging 25 plus points a game and a ton of rebounds and points and all this at 38, why would you stop? But you also don't want to be the guy who my dad always talks about his favorite baseball player and I think he thinks the greatest baseball player he ever saw was Willie Mays.
Mm-hmm.
But he remembers he always talks about remembering seeing Willie Mays in a Mets uniform, literally like doing a spin while he was swinging at pitches.
Yeah,
you don't want to be that either.
So I
don't know. I don't think that as an artist, I think you can tell a little easier when it's going.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he sees that. Maybe he doesn't. Either way, he's got nothing to
prove.
He's got
his legacy is secure. Let's say that. Yeah.
It's so so intact.
Yeah, it is.
It really is. I thought this was a good one I wanted to touch on here. Well, actually, I'll get to that in a second. I want to touch on this first. Dwayne Johnson is returning as Hobbs in the new Fast and the Furious movies.
Okay.
Dwayne Johnson announced yesterday that he's returning as Luke Hobbs in an untitled Fast and the Furious movie. He describes the project as fresh.
That's all he's got. It's fresh.
I like The Rock. I really do. I'm a fan. But come on, man. Give us some more here. I mean, what are you doing? It's going to involve cars?
Yeah.
It's been described as Fast X.5. Come on, man. Just make a new series. Just make something new. I don't know.
X.5.
I've built my career on a quote from him. I've built my career on, quote, on an audience first mentality, and that will always be that will always serve me as my North Star. Got work to do. And so he's going back. I don't know if he was going to do this if Black Adam had worked out. He had the next 5 or so years kind of mapped out a little bit with this superhero stuff, and that not working out really threw a monkey wrench into things.
Yeah. I mean, it's something that you refer to so much, James. It's like it's such a weird industry. Even Dwayne Johnson, arguably one of the biggest stars on the planet, stuff like this will happen, and suddenly he's like, oh, I need work. I need something to do.
Yeah.
So I don't blame him. I do not blame him.
It's all well and good to have standards until, you know, the money. One of my favorite quotes of all time, Mike Tyson used to say, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Like, you know, it's true.
We're talking metaphorically here, but
yes.
But at the same time, although he was a wrestler. but still, I mean, the industries can be so brutal, even to the top stars. Man, it's just crazy.
Now, there was some controversy between Vin Diesel and him not getting along and all this and everything, but The Rock says, quote, last summer, Vin and I put all that past behind us. We'll lead with brotherhood and resolve and always take care of the franchise, characters, and fans that we love. If you read between the lines, we both need money. We both need a job.
We are willing to bury the hatchet because, we need a paycheck. Yeah.
That's going to have to come first.
And that's fine. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
completely understandable. With that.
when it comes to the paycheck or any of this stuff, like, I'm never going to blame any of these guys for doing what they got to do. There's a line in the sand, of course.
Yeah.
But, for the most part, I'm not going to worry about it too much. And finally, if you watch Seinfeld, you saw a lot of Elaine going straight to Jerry's fridge when she entered his apartment. I thought this was kind of interesting. So Julia Louis-Dreyfus was on a podcast. This is an episode of YouTube's First We Feast. This is the one that every celebrity seems to be doing nowadays, where they ask them questions while they're eating hot things. And I see like huge names like George Clooney, like people like that doing this and everything. Like it's one of the newer ways of interviewing.
Weird, but yeah, okay.
We will not be doing that with Midday Magazine. I'll tell you that. Right
no,
now.
Yeah, relax. Don't worry about
that. But I did want to play this little outlet from her, or snippet from her.
What we were always challenged by was, as soon as you walk into the apartment, what are you supposed to do? What business am I going to find to do in this apartment? You're not just going to come in and sit on the couch every time. You had the couch, the kitchen, and then you had between the counter and the couch. But you also had to figure out what you were going to do, which is why I often would go to the refrigerator and just find things, or even just go and look in the refrigerator and not do anything. But we had to be creative about it.
I like that. I think that's really interesting. I love getting an inside look, you know, at these things.
Inside the fridge look, maybe? I think that's fascinating because think about that, too. So you're on a show that, you know you're going to do a certain number of episodes, you know, and everything. And it's the same basic set every single time. And it's a small space. What are you going to do? And that's stuff you got to think about when you're an actor. It's like, well, okay, I don't want to do the same thing over and over again. You know, let's do this or let's do that. I mean, makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Just I like hearing the breakdown of it.
It's great, though. It's pretty cool. Yeah.
And finally, wanted to touch on one last thing here as far as entertainment. And sports is entertainment, so I feel like this fits.
We're okay.
I am shoehorning it a little bit, but everybody is going to remember, because the article starts out, do you remember? I don't think anybody's going to forget, especially in less than a year, what happened with DeMar Hamlin of the Buffalo Bills when he collapsed on the field last season. It was terrifying and near tragic as that was. It may have helped save a kid's life. A defensive coordinator for the L.A. Rams by the name of Raheem Morris, incredibly talented defensive coordinator, was at a hotel pool in Las Vegas when a 3-year-old boy nearly drowned. He didn't even have a pulse when his father pulled him from the water. Oof. The lifeguard started providing aid, and Morris rushed to grab an automatic external defibrillator that was on site. He says, quote, "When I got back, we had a doctor on site that was able to start the compressions. I was able to hand the AED to him, get it open for him, put the pads on the child, and it ended up being okay." Morris says he knew what to do thanks to training he received because of the Damar Hamlin situation.
How about that?
A Rams official added that Hamlin, quote, "inspired our organization to get trained and save another life."
How about that?
That's amazing.
That is an amazing thing.
I got nothing. I'm supposed to talk for a living, and I got nothing on this one. Like, that's just awesome. That's just really, really,
that
really,
is,
really
I
cool.
I mean, and the fact that it speaks to every, you know, so far beyond football, you know, it was something that just, you know, hey, this is an important thing. Maybe we should know how to do this. Mm-hmm. And look at what happened. Because they just a little training, and look at, and he saved a life. How about that? Remarkable.
It's pretty amazing.
Amazing.
Pretty impressive. Pretty incredible. One more time, we'll remind you that Rafters Baseball is on your radio dial tonight. Rafters are out of town the next couple of nights. They're over in Fond du Lac hanging out with the Dock Spiders. Going to play some baseball. 6:20, our pregame will start both Friday and Saturday. Mm-hmm. Rafters are back home on Sunday and Monday. Mm-hmm. They'll be hosting the Madison Mallards.
Nice.
On Sunday, our pregame will start at 3:50. With that being in mind, and not knowing how long baseball is going to go, of course,
right.
Seth and I touched on this last hour. Director's Cut, Seth Faces the Music will both be reruns this week.
Yep.
Replays, if you will.
Replays. Vintage copies of yes, wonderful shows.
Yes. Great episodes. So we encourage you to listen to them. We will have new episodes for you real quickly here.
Yes, indeed.
But let's cheer on our Rafters and build them up, and let's get back in that win column.
Yeah.
Let's
more importantly, let's go, fellas.
For now, we are going to take a quick commercial break. We'll come back with more fun on the morning show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
People say I'm crazy, doing what I'm doing.
Easily one of my favorite, like top three, four favorite Lennon songs.
Oh, really?
Watching the Wheels? Yeah.
It's a great tune.
One of those ones that it's a time machine. It takes me back to being a kid and my mom and dad listening to this
early
album.
Early 80s, yeah.
Yeah. Seth and James here with you. Thanks so much for joining us on this Friday. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you are having a great one out there. Wanted to touch on this one. I thought it was kind of interesting. Entertainment Weekly put together a list of sequels that are actually better than the original, according to them.
Okay.
It won't surprise you that you know there's going to be some arguments on this.
Of course.
There's going to be some debating on this.
So we make lists, right? Make arguments.
The whole reason for lists. We got nine of them here, but we will take honorable mentions.
Yeah.
We encourage the audience to participate. Call up 424-2600. Want to hear from you, especially because the whole reason that this conversation even comes up is not on this list. To me, in my opinion.
Oh, okay.
So I think that is going to be very interesting.
Interesting,
Let's dive right in again, 424-2600, if you guys want to play along. Superman 2 from 1980.
Ooh. Now, the Superman movies, the original Superman movies, kind of blend together for me. So I'm trying to remember. Is that the one with the other Kryptonians?
Yes.
With General Zod and all that? Okay, yeah. Okay.
That was the one where they had the budget.
Where they actually had a few dollars to work with.
The first one was a swing and a prayer. It was like, hey, let's see if this works. Let's hope this does well. We got good feeling about it, but we're not sure.
And huge hit. Yep.
Yeah.
Became a big hit. Yep.
There's no way superhero movies are where they are today without that original Superman movie. And Superman 2 really brought it home.
That's true.
Thor Ragnarok from 2017. Arguably the best of the Thor series of movies.
Right, yeah.
Most people love that one.
I would put that as my favorite Thor. I actually really like the first one a lot too.
Me too.
But yeah, I think that one, even with the Love and Thunder and everything, I still think Ragnarok is probably the best of all of the Thor movies.
Yeah, it was really, really well done.
Yeah.
And they finally got into the swing of things with that one.
Yes.
I think with the first one and the second one even, I don't know if they, the Dark World or whatever, Thor in the Dark World or whatever that one, they were trying to figure out what what to do with this character. And I think in the Marvel Universe, they're trying to figure out, well, wait a minute, Thor is a, like, you know, god in all this. How do we incorporate that into this world, into superheroes and everything? And
exactly.
They're kind of, now they have an outline. Now they kind of have a way of doing it.
Exactly.
Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban from 2004.
So is that considered like the best of the Harry Potter movies? I guess I don't know.
I don't know either, but I would say for me personally, by far and away.
Oh, okay. All right.
Now, I also am saying this as the one of the biggest, if not the biggest, Gary Sinise fan in the world. Or not, I'm sorry, Gary Oldman
Gary
fan
Oldman,
in the world.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a fine on me. and he's in that one. It's the only one he's in, so I don't know. Spider-Man 2 from 2004.
Spider-Man 2 is, it's got to be considered one of the better superhero movies, period.
Yes.
Since the cycle started. We're not talking about the original, you know, the Superman ones and stuff like that, and the original Batman. Yeah. The modern superhero cycle started in 2000 with the X-Men. And if you got to start from there, and then if you can judge them from there, Spider-Man 2 has got to be on the top of the list.
Yeah,
I agree. A really well-made movie.
Yeah, it's the one that again I think really set the standard for a lot of this stuff.
Yeah,
let's see, Toy Story 3 from 2010.
Really?
Kind of interesting.
That's
to see that.
That's an interesting one. Yeah. Wow, 3, not 2.
I guess. You know, I don't know. I'll be honest. I don't remember them that well,
right?
And I don't know necessarily what made that one stand out more. So
okay, I've watched the first two again recently, and I thought, wow, the second one is really good. In my opinion, I think that's an excellent one. I don't know. 3 is better than 2. I don't know. In my opinion, I'd have an argument there. Yeah. I think I would have an argument.
And again, 424-2600, call up and let us know what are sequels that you think were better than the original, or maybe even just should be discussed. You know, maybe not 100%.
I just realized that Toy Story 3 has Ned Beatty as a teddy bear, though.
Oh, yeah.
So that I got to give it some props for that.
That is good. Yeah, that is really good. Terminator 2, Judgment Day from 1991.
Yeah.
Not only was that one bigger, I could see, but
for
that
sure.
one was the, let every producer know, oh, we can wait 10 years to come out with a sequel.
Yeah, it was a decent chunk of time before they came up with a sequel. Now, taking nothing away from the first Terminator, because that's one of the rare Arnold bad guy movies where he plays a really good villain. I'm kind of sad he didn't do more of that. I mean, he was a big star. He had to be the hero. No, I get that. But he was really good as the original Terminator.
Cold.
Yes.
So cold. So mechanical in that.
Yeah.
And it really, like, really dark. That original one.
Yes.
The second one went a little lighter, went a more pop, a little more, you know, appealing to the masses kind of thing. Because I think the original Terminator was a horror movie.
More or less, yeah.
It was not an action movie. I consider that first one a horror movie. Mm-hmm. Every horror movie, the bad guy keeps chasing you, and you fall down, and he's right there.
Like exactly.
That was a Terminator.
That's scary, yeah.
Everyone since has been more action-focused
than
that,
so,
and much more box office success with those, or much more leaning into box, or wanting box office success.
And but I have to give credit to the second one, because you're not going to find a better villain than Robert Patrick is on that one. He is so good as the T-1000, man. Oh.
When it also told producers, hey, the movies that we made 10 years ago with all the technology changes and everything, we can bring these back and we can redo them. And I believe, I don't know this, I've never heard it in an interview, but you can't tell me that didn't have an influence on George Lucas. And George Lucas coming out with 3 more Star Wars movies.
I think you're right. It had absolutely.
Number 2 on the list, and arguably the biggest one to many out there, The Dark Knight from 2008.
Yes. Yeah.
I maintain that to this day, it's still the greatest superhero movie I've seen and one of the better complete movies I've seen.
Okay.
If you can let yourself just watch the movie and not focus on it being superheroes and all this, I don't think it's hard to do, because Christopher Nolan did such a great job of, okay, how can I make these unrealistic characters, bring them to reality and make them as realistic as possible? And to re-envision characters that are some arguably the most famous in the world, I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you even begin to do that kind of stuff.
Right.
Christopher Nolan and his team and the writers and everybody who were part of those 3 movies, they changed the game.
Mm-hmm.
Changed the game.
Yep. I have not seen Batman Begins. I have not seen the third. I can't even remember it's called. I have seen The Dark Knight, and I have no interest in seeing the other ones.
I really don't, because
I like, you're right. I mean, it's not a perfect movie. There's arguments can be made. There's certain flaws. But other than that, but you're right, man. It is it's just a good movie, period.
Yeah.
Forget superheroes. It's just a good movie.
I get goosebumps every time I think about the performances in that movie. Yes. Not just Heath Ledger's. I mean, all of them are great.
All of them are good.
And number one on the list, Star Wars: The Empire Strikes Back from 1980.
I'm not surprised at all by that.
I agree with you. I expected it in the top three for sure. And this goes back to a lot of what we were saying with Terminator, better budget, newer technology.
Exactly. Having a real, nothing against George Lucas as a director, but you can tell that the director, Irving Kirshner, who directed Empire Strikes Back, was an actor's director. All the movies he'd done before that were small, you know, like intimate movies.
That's right.
But the characters are not better in any Star Wars movie than they are in Empire Strikes Back. They are at their best in that movie, and I think that's why people like it so much.
It's an interesting list, but what makes it fascinating to me is that The Godfather 2 is not on here.
I was also surprised by that. I was waiting for you to say it.
I thought for sure that number one on the list would be Godfather 2. Like, I didn't even, I'll be honest with the audience, I had this set aside for a little while here, and I never even looked at the list because I just assumed, oh, Godfather 2 is going to be at the top of the list. It's the only movie I've ever known where people have, like, genuine arguments about which is better, Godfather 1 or Godfather 2. And by people, I mean my family. Yeah,
well, those movies are popular in your family. I don't know what you're talking about. No, but I just realized something too. That's not only a sequel; it's a prequel.
Both.
Yeah, Godfather 2 has, because it has Vito's early story in it as well. It goes between the present and the past, kind of thing. So I realized that too. But the fact that the bar was set so high with the first one, The Godfather is a cinema classic, hands down, one of the best movies ever made.
Still holds up.
The fact that the second one, you can argue, is better. That's just, I mean, that is Francis Ford Coppola at his best.
Indeed.
Right there.
Indeed. It also makes you feel really bad about the third one. So
they waited too long, and it didn't work out. And that does happen from time to time.
It's one of those ones on paper, oh, this is gold.
It should work.
This is going to be great. But I think Sofia Coppola is one of our greater directors in the world today. She's amazing. But forcing your daughter and pushing your daughter into that position and that kind of stuff, like,
that wasn't cool.
No. And it just it didn't go over well.
It did not work.
She stops the it's a car that's going 50, 60 miles an hour and stops like instantly. Like every time she's in a scene, like it's rough. It's hard. It's not picking on her. She was not an actor. She wasn't a trained actor with like Al Pacino and people like this, you know, what was expected of
her.
Plus
she was also really young.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other thing too. Yeah. She was very young.
But I'm a little surprised that Godfather 2, not on the list. That's interesting.
Times change.
Yeah. I was going to say, maybe I'm just dating myself.
You're old, man.
All these movies are a lot older. Yeah. Right, a lot younger. Yeah. We'll take a break right here. We will get to Melissa's news. We'll come back with some more fun on the morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you. Hoping you're having a great Friday out there.
Yeah.
Little Steve Miller for you to get you into the mood, get you going.
Yeah.
Not bad at all. Let's go ahead and check out this one right here, Seth. And for many out there, I think it would be a That Ain't Right story.
Okay.
Disneyland's Splash Mountain closed for good this week, but not before it gave one last person a full-blown panic attack.
Oh, no.
If you hadn't heard, Disney announced they were closing it in 2020 over issues based on the 1946 movie Song of the South.
Right.
Even Disney CEO Bob Iger called it not appropriate in today's world. Mm-hmm. The one at Disney World closed and back in January, and the original ride at Disneyland closed this past Wednesday, 34 years after it opened in 1989.
Wow.
They're renovating both rides and opening a similar one next year called Tiana's Bayou Adventure. It's based on The Princess and the Frog.
Mm-hmm.
The original ride isn't totally dead yet, but you'd have to go to Japan to ride it. There's still one operating at a Tokyo Disneyland.
Oh, wow.
But back to the panic attack, someone posted a video this week of a girl at Disneyland hopping off the ride while it was still in motion.
Oh, no.
We're guessing she was nervous about the big 50-foot drop at the end. Yeah. Luckily, she is fine. Yeah. I don't know much about this ride, so okay. I don't know what exactly. I guess there's a video that's gone viral of it.
Right.
But I don't know much about the ride.
Well, basically, so you get put in a boat with, you know, a boat carrier thing, and you've seen them, you know, ride boats kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on the water and it pulls you along. Most of the ride is just you go through like the scenes of the like Song of the South, you know, the characters from that, which they're going to be changing in the future here. But but basically, yeah, it's just a ride. But at the very end, there's a very steep, very big drop, which, you know, splashes water up and gets some people wet.
Yeah.
And especially if the person standing in front of me ducks and then I get a face full of water. Not that I'm bitter. But that's basically what it is. I mean, it's not a ride where, you know, there's one, it's like an up and down thing. It's just one big drop at the end.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, this young lady that got off, she got off when she wasn't supposed to, and she got stuck and she didn't know where to go.
Well, yeah.
She's like,
that's a problem.
Her video continues on where she's like, craziness last weekend on Splash Mountain. They got you to get hurt, but yeah. That's crazy.
No.
That ain't right.
Please, people, do not get off the ride when you're on it. Don't do that. I mean, I understand, a panic attack is no fun. I get that, but that's so dangerous. That is so dangerous. Don't do that.
I'm a little surprised in 34 years this hasn't happened before. Yeah. They're pretty fortunate with that. Yeah,
you're right. You're absolutely right. Especially when there's other rides that are much more, you know, thrill, you know, rides, mm-hmm. like Space Mountain and stuff like that, where they're like more like roller coasters. So, yeah, I don't know.
Is that, and I'm not like trying to put you on the spot with this or fine. Anything, but as far as you've been there more than I have,
right.
Is that still a really popular ride, the Splash Mountain?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It's Frontierland, I believe. And yeah, that one has always got a pretty decent line, especially on really warm days. Well, especially when you're in Florida, which is anytime.
Yeah.
You know, you get a little, you know, cool off a little bit with some water and stuff like that. But no, it's always a very popular ride. I think it's still right up to the end here.
Interesting. The NBA Finals kicked off last night, and there are four reasons to watch. There's the Denver Nuggets fans, Miami Heat fans, of course, or if you're a basketball fan, or if you're a burrito fan.
Huh?
Chipotle has a new promotion where they're giving away free burritos every time a player on either team hits a three-pointer.
Really?
Yeah, real quick time out here. Chipotle apparently has not been watching the NBA in the last couple of years. I feel like this, like Chipotle's owners are like from the 50s or 60s where they did not know. That
they didn't even have a three-point line.
Yeah, yeah. How many can we possibly give away to people who don't pay attention? And I don't blame you. I get it. But if you've been paying attention to basketball in the last 4 or 5 years, what has happened is the three-point shot has become the slam dunk.
Yes.
Like, that's the big thing now.
Yep.
That's everybody shooting threes.
Yeah.
You got seven-footers like Jokic that nail threes, like have a great like a 40% like something for shooting three-pointers. Jeez. Or something like that. Like, yeah, everybody's shooting threes now. Everybody's Steph Curry. Well, there's only one Steph Curry, but
right.
Everybody putting them up there at least.
He was the guy that kind of was the guy who stirred it up. He was the originator, and everyone started copying him, basically.
So here's how it works. While you're watching any of the games live, follow at Chipotle Tweets on Twitter. Every time someone hits a three, they will post a secret keyword. Then you send a text message with the word 888-222. And that's the number you text, 888-222.
Okay. There you go.
They're giving out about 300 free burritos for each three-pointer, up to 35 buckets per game. That's a total of over 10 grand free burritos.
Wow.
And it could be more than 73,000 if 35 threes are hit in every game and the series goes 7 games.
Oh, wow.
And that is not far-fetched.
No, it's not.
35 threes in the modern NBA game, not far-fetched.
Not far-fetched at all.
You're only allowed to get one free burrito per game. I don't know about that.
Oh, there's the catch. Yep, oh, man. Yep. No.
You have until the end of the month to redeem your freebie, and you'll have to order ahead through the app or website.
Of course.
They won't accept codes in person at the register. So, yeah. I get them doing it that way in this circumstance, only because they're giving some, pretty easy. This isn't a hard thing to win.
No.
So if they're going to make it easy for you to win, I don't mind them making it a little more difficult on the back end to go through the app or something like that.
Right.
Got to promote this stuff. I get it.
Yeah.
Side note, download the Civic Media app. It works amazing. we get it.
Nice.
But I also think that my claim on this still stands. If you're making people jump through hoops just to win something, and then they got to go through the app and they got to scan a QR code, or miss me. I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm not even trying. I don't even care.
It seems a little excessive, that all of the different. It's not just getting the app, because then you got to sign up for their rewards program or whatever, whatever it is. Why don't you just give away donuts like Krispy Kreme is doing?
Yeah,
just give away a donut,
It's not that hard. This is not difficult to do. We'll take a commercial break right here. We'll come back with more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back. Morning shows at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you. Always here to remind you.
Along the city streets you used to walk along with me, and every step I take reminds me of just how we used to be.
Yeah, either it was an inspirational song, like meant to inspire you and get you ready for a montage, or it was something like this.
Yeah.
It was moody.
So terrible.
Yeah, like heartbreaking or something like that.
I talked about this on my on Seth Face Music recently, about the three bands from the 80s that I think are so underrated. Mm. They all had hits, but they were like not like flash of the pan kind of thing.
Yeah.
But one was Naked Eyes, which we just heard.
Mm-hmm.
Simple Minds,
oh,
of course,
absolutely.
Well known for their "Don't You Forget About Me" and "Talk Talk," which is by far the most underrated.
Yeah.
And they had some great music. Oh my gosh! So
that's a good one.
There's some rock history for everybody. We'll touch on that today.
Yeah, nicely done. Nicely done. We are looking forward to doing more rock history segments together and everything. We've talked about that off here, Seth and I. So we're definitely going to be doing that. We're going to dive a little into some science right now. This week in science, and scientists finally think that they know why we evolved to have arches in our feet.
Ooh, interesting. Okay.
I think that's quite fascinating.
That is.
If we didn't have them, we wouldn't be able to walk upright or run very well, which would make sports very weird. chimps and other primates have flat feet, and we're the only ones with arches. So, was this just so that we could play basketball and stuff or anything? Or why did we really evolve this way?
Basketball was predetermined, yeah.
A global team of scientists have now found that the recoil of the flexible arch repositions the ankle upright for more effective walking. The effects in running are greater, which suggests that the ability to run efficiently could have been a selective pressure for a flexible arch that made walking more effective, too. The discovery could even help doctors improve treatments for present-day patients' foot problems.
How about that?
But why did we start doing this? Why did this start happening? Well, it doesn't take science to tell you this. Your body tells you this every day. Every day you have moments in your day. Every single human being goes through this, fight or flight.
Yep.
And now, at that time, it's true fight or flight. It's true dinosaurs are coming after you. Like, there's no weapons. There's no, any of this stuff or anything. And you're running. You're running. You're trying to survive.
The very first sport... Yeah, run from saber-toothed tiger is basically the first one.
Pretty hard to do that with flat feet.
Exactly.
Human beings are probably going to evolve and probably evolve pretty quickly to be able to run.
Exactly. Get away.
How badly? Here's the that ain't right story. Being the caveman right before that happens.
Oh, no.
You're still stuck with the flat feet and everything. Meanwhile, you see Joey, the kid, who evolved to have flat, these arches, and he's booking. He's doing this thing you've never seen before called running.
Now we know how they became extinct. They had flat feet. That's what it was.
Yeah. It's fascinating.
Got eaten.
The evolution of feet, man. That's quite
how about that, man? That's cool. That is cool.
Have you ever said, and you did, you have, okay, don't lie, you have, I have, Seth has, we all have. Have you ever said, I knew it wouldn't last? When somebody breaks up, I knew it wouldn't last. Yeah. Well, a study found out you were probably wrong. You probably weren't really that confident. We just tend to think we saw it coming because of something called hindsight bias.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is something that we've had feelings about before, but now we have science to kind of back this up. A new study published in the open access journal Social Psychological Bulletin suggests that people might want to think twice before assuming that they could have seen the breakup or anything really coming. Hindsight bias might just be playing tricks on our memory. Mm-hmm. Having conducted a series of surveys among over 1,000 college students and community adults in total, a research team from the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire, shout out, concludes that it is only after someone learns about a couple breaking up that they perceive a breakup as more obvious.
I wonder if that has to do with, even if it's not, if you're just observing the relationship, you know, for, as a friend or something like that. It's one of those things where you hear about the breakup, and now all of a sudden what comes to your brain is all the stuff you saw that would indicate, you know, some of the, you don't think about all the good stuff that happened. You just think about the negatives, like, oh yeah, they wouldn't have lasted kind of thing. So,
as they say in the article here, to Seth's point, furthermore, it is at this point that the observer is more likely to focus on the negative qualities of the relationship instead of the positive ones and evaluate the relationship more unfavorably, therefore justifying the logical outcome.
Makes sense. It really does.
That is pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
That's really something.
Oh, huh. Human relationships, man.
Yeah.
That is something to study, huh?
Yeah. I've done quite a bit of studying, and I'm done. I'm that kid. I've been in college for like 20 years. Not one degree. I've been dating.
Van Wilder in the flesh right here.
I've been dating a long time, and I have not learned much. I'll be honest. I'm trying. I've been trying to learn, but every time I think I know something, the game changes.
Yeah. It changes all the time, man.
Taking a break, coming back, and wrapping the show up here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR. So 90s. Seth and James here with you. Getting you ready for the weekend. Hope you're all set and ready to go, everybody. The weekend is upon us. Enjoy, have a great one, and have a safe, fun time out there.
Mm-hmm.
Got a That Ain't Right story before we get to some world good stories of the day, and this is an interesting one. Here's another lesson in securing online domains. The state of Maryland has 800,000 people driving around and advertising a gambling website in the Philippines for free on their license plates.
What?
The Maryland Motor Vehicle Administration just admitted that their War of 1812 license plates, the default plate in the state from 2012 to 2016, has a URL that now points it to an overseas gambling site.
Oh, jeez.
The domain is starspangled200.org, and it was originally affiliated with a nonprofit that raised money for bicentennial projects and events.
Mm-hmm.
But they either stopped paying for the domain or gave it up. And an opportunistic gambling site jumped on this, and with nothing better to do, and now they, you know, an American that's just feeling patriotic, now they're going over to this website like, asking to be gambling. Maryland estimates that the URL is printed on 9,008 active license plates. 700,900.
Wow.
And they're making it clear that they have nothing to do with the current website. They say they're working on options to resolve the issue, but that's probably going to cost a lot.
Uh-huh.
If they're even able to get it back.
And there's a good chance they will not.
Yeah. What incentive does that gambling site have to sell it?
Yeah. Yeah. Unless they can find it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That ain't right.
That is just, ugh.
It's a good reminder,
it's
everybody.
Gross.
It's a good reminder. It is really gross. It's nasty. It's messed up.
I don't like it.
It's a real good reminder to make sure that you, if you have a website, you have a domain.
You know that it's legit. Yeah. Exactly.
It's a good idea.
Good idea.
Let's see. Let's get some good stuff right now. Just in time for Pride Month, the world's first openly gay president was elected on Wednesday. His name is Edgars Rinkevicius. He is the new president of Latvia in Northeast Europe.
How about that?
came out back in 2014. That's impressive.
That's impressive.
That's very, I think a lot of people look at certain parts, especially like the Latvias of the world and stuff. Mm-hmm. They think of them as almost, behind the
like
times
backwards.
Or something.
Yeah.
Not the case.
No, it's not that. No.
America used to be way ahead of these things. and we still are in some ways.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
A Sherpa who guides people up Mount Everest recently saved a climber's life after finding him stuck in a section near the summit called the Death Zone.
Ugh.
The guy was clinging to a rope and shivering from the cold. It took 6 hours to get him down to a spot where he could be airlifted out. He couldn't walk, so the Sherpa carried him for a lot of it.
Wow.
Experts say rescuing someone up that high is very rare and almost impossible, but the guy survived.
How about that?
Man.
That's a good story.
It really does seem pretty cool to me to climb Mount Everest to do these things.
Yeah.
But you miss me at they have a death zone. Yeah. Like, I'm not climbing anything that has a death zone.
I just found out that one of my closer cousins, who I've not been in contact with for a while, his new hobby is climbing mountains.
That's awesome.
He just climb Mount Rainier in Washington.
Whoa.
And he's like, well, Kilimanjaro's next. I'm like, whoa, where did this come from, man? What are you doing?
Man. I admit I like climbing. I like a lot of that stuff. I think it's really cool. I don't know if I don't think
I could.
Here's my thing. I feel like and I don't make light of this. I think it's interesting and brave to a degree of what a lot of people doing that and stuff. But I just have worked too hard to live this long, and I'm so lucky
unnecessary
to be
risks.
Here. Unnecessary risk just seems so foolish to me. Like, I'm not going out like that. Like, wow, James survived this, and this. What took him out? A mountain. Like,
yeah.
Well, did the mountain, like, was it looking for him? Did he owe it money? What happened here? Was it like, no, he went for the mountain. He went to the mountain. No.
No skydiving in your future, huh?
No. Oh, heck no. I got no interest. No. Bungee jumping, any of it.
Forget it.
I love adrenaline. I love a good adrenaline. Like, I'll climb rocks, you know, I'll do rock climbing and that kind of thing. But no, I'm staying right here on the flat.
The safer kind. The safer kind. Yeah.
And here's another kid who's going places. 16-year-old Ryan Lupkins works as a cashier at a pizza place in Missouri and doesn't let his physical limitations keep him down. He was born with a birth defect where both arms never fully formed. Mm. But he has a great attitude and says he's proud of who he is. Back in April, a random customer named Robert Sammy tipped him $5, and cashiers didn't usually get tips, so he was really grateful for it. And his great attitude obviously made an impression, because Robert decided to stop back in this week and tip him an additional $2,500.
What? Whoa. Oh, hey, ho.
Yeah.
There's a tip for you. Yeah. Wow.
Kind of a weird number, though, right?
Yeah, it is. Like, it's like a little
weird.
Odd.
Like, yeah, you know, like,
why not round it? Yeah, I don't know.
2,000 or 3,000. Yeah. Why not?
2,500? Yeah. Okay.
That was awesome that he did it.
Maybe. But still, yeah.
And his great, and so Raheem says he's been saving up for his first car. Now he can get it a lot sooner than he planned.
How about that?
How cool is that? He's driving, too.
That's so cool.
It's a really cool story right there. A guy from Maryland who used to be a garbage man just graduated from high school, from Harvard Law School. We played his commencement speech last week.
Yep, that's right.
A 96-year-old woman in Canada named Raji Fairhead broke a world record over the weekend. She ran a 5K in just over 51 minutes. It's the fastest time ever recorded by a woman over the age of 95.
Oh, gosh. Under an hour? Wow. Oh, my gosh.
I'm not sure I could do that.
No, that's a remarkable. You go, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I'm generally pressing my brain right now thinking, could you do this? And I don't think I could. I really don't.
Oh.
That is very impressive. A guy from England raised money for charity by climbing the three tallest mountains in the UK with a refrigerator on his back. Man.
Interesting. Obstacle to give yourself. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
What
did he think? His beer was going to get cold? Wasn't going to stay cold or something?
Yeah.
I don't
right?
know.
Yeah. I like that, though. I'm just bringing the fridge with me.
Yeah.
A 32-year-old woman in New Mexico now owns the world record for the largest foot rotation. She can spin her foot 171 degrees. That's
oh no,
it's a little bit of a weird story there.
Yeah, but it's maybe a little that ain't right.
And anyway. a kid at the University of Pittsburgh just graduated from college at the age of 16.
Yeah.
He was reading by the age of 3, doing algebra a few years later, and his associate's degree at 13. Just got his bachelor's in computer science.
Yikes. Overachievers.
Yeah, yeah.
Overachievers.
makes you feel a little bit more positive, a little more hopeful about the future ahead here and everything.
It's true.
And a reminder, Rafter Baseball on the radio dial tonight. Rafters are in Fond du Lac the next two nights. Pre-game starts at the same time, both nights, 6:20. Be sure to join us for every pitch, every hit, every win of Rafter Baseball right here at WFHR.
Yes.
Seth, have a great weekend.
You too, man.
And we mean it this time, everybody.
We're going away now. Bye. Yeah.
Have a good weekend, everyone.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.